Father, we love you and we thank you that we get to gather together and worship your holy name. And Lord, as we turn now to your word, our prayer is very simple. Speak to us, Lord. We're listening. Lord, that you, through your word and through your spirit, would so speak to us that we would leave this room tonight different from when we walked in because we've met with you. Lord, transform us tonight. Make us more like Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. We continue tonight through our series through the Beatitudes. And one of the dangers that always scares me when we preach or teach through the Beatitudes is that we might look at these things as contracts that will somehow put God in a holy armbar to make him give us something that we want or need. All right, so when you go through these things in Matthew chapter 5 and you hear, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Well, I want the kingdom of heaven, don't you? And so the temptation there is to think, well, I'll work on being poor in spirit. I'm not real sure what that means, but we're going to go after it. The more poor in spirit I am, the more kingdom of heaven I'll get. Or maybe, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Well, I want to be comforted, don't you? And so I'll mourn a little more, not real sure what for, but if I do that, then God will. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Well, I really want to inherit the earth, so I'll work on being more meek. It's kind of hard when you're 6'2", 300 to be meek. But if I'm more meek, then maybe I'll have a better shot at inheriting. You get what I'm saying? It's kind of this idea, you know, even on down the line, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Well, I want mercy, so I need to be merciful. And so the temptation is that we would start to think that we are in some type of a holy transaction with God. That if I do this, he'll have to do that. If I give him this, he'll have to respond in this way. And I'm going to tell you, it's a very dangerous game to feel like you're twisting God's arm into doing anything. He's God, we're not. We didn't vote him in. He has the ability to totally obliterate us at any moment, and yet in his kindness, he doesn't. He's God and we're not, and so there's nothing that we can do that would twist his arm into giving us anything. And so when we approach the Beatitudes, we got to be careful. And we got to read them in the way that God would have us read them through the lens of the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says that if we are in Christ, we're not who we used to be. That if we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes into us, his Spirit fills us, then we are transformed and we become a new creation. Amen? So we're not who we used to be anymore. When we come to the law in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, before God gave that law, he gave them an if-then clause. He said, "All right, people of Israel, if you keep my covenant and obey my law, then I will be your God and you will be my people. Out of all the peoples of the earth, you will be my treasured possession." But there was an if-then attached to it. God said, "If you keep my covenant and you obey my law, then I'll be your God and you'll be my people." Well, did Israel keep the covenant? No, and God in his forbearance and patience kept coming back. But, I mean, Moses couldn't even get down off the mountain with the tablets before they were involved in an orgy, breaking all of the commandments that God had just given. Well, when we come to the Beatitudes, Jesus doesn't give us an if-then. He just begins to teach us what it is to be like him. So the only person who nailed these Beatitudes, who got them all right, who got them from the very start, was Jesus. And the only way that you or I could ever fulfill one of them is because of Jesus. That if Jesus is in us, and we're transformed to be more like him, then these things will come out of us. How many of y'all have heard of the fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? And how many of you have been in a Bible study or some type of situation where you've been talking about how you interact with the fruit of the Spirit? And you say, "Well, you know, I do pretty good at love and joy and peace, but patience I really struggle with. I really struggle with that, so I really need to work on patience." Well, here's the thing. you can't work on something that naturally comes out from the Spirit. Does that make sense? Don't work on being more patient. Work on being filled with the Spirit, that the Spirit's patience would come through you. Don't work on being more loving. Work on being filled with the Spirit, that the love of God would come through you. That's how we read these Beatitudes. And so the only way I could ever recognize that I'm poor in spirit is if Jesus first, of His own accord and without my doing anything to earn it, if He first gives me the kingdom of heaven. Once I see the kingdom of heaven, I recognize the poverty of my spirit. Does that make sense? Once I see the comfort that God gives me in the gospel, that He would send His Son to die on the cross to pay the price for my sin, once I see the comfort of my salvation in Christ, then I begin to mourn how nasty my sin really was. Once I begin to see God for who He is, then I become more pure in heart. See, the only way we could ever line up with these Beatitudes is because Jesus has moved in us first. And so tonight, we come to this one. Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Well, what we can't do tonight is say, if I'll just be a peacemaker, then I'll be called a son of God. That's not how it works. The Bible tells us there's only one way to become a son of God. Over in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it says that to as many as received Jesus, to those who believed in His name, to them gave He the right to become children of God. I don't care what Oprah says, we're not all God's children. Only those who have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ are the children of God. And that's the only way that we can become children of God. You can't be peaceable enough to become God's child. Only by receiving Jesus Christ into your life do you become a child of God. But once you've received Jesus Christ and you become a son of God, you better be a peacemaker. Because see, the Son of God is a peacemaker. And if He's in you, you know what He's going to bring through you? Peace. Now, I know we just went a lot quick, okay? The bottom line is this: if Jesus is in me, I'm different. If Jesus is in me, though the flesh may cry out for me to do all manner of things, I still have the unction of the Spirit to do what God would want me to do. If I'm a son of God, then I'm going to make peace. If you got your Bible, flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to look very briefly at this. And when I say very briefly, I'm talking like 6 minutes. All right, I got a big clock up there. We're going to get you out of here on time. So here's what I'm going to ask you. 6 minutes of your life devoted to God's Word. Not Jeff, God's Word. Hear the words of our Lord. Let God drill it into your heart. And let's see what happens. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. And he says this: "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. And if we're in our right mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation.
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Did you hear what Paul just did there? Paul shared the gospel with the church at Corinth. And Paul shared the gospel with the church at Hillview. He said, listen, you who are called to be peacemakers, let me show you what Jesus did. Let me show you what Jesus did. Jesus came and He came to His enemies. See, the Bible says that before we come to Christ, we're not just lost. We're God's enemies. That we're warring against Him in our minds with everything that we do. We are His enemies. We don't want Him. We don't want Him sticking His nose in our business. We don't want anything to do with Him. We are His enemies. And what did Jesus do? He came to His enemies. And He loved us enough that He gave His life for us. So that by receiving Him, we might have life in Him. But listen to what Paul says. He says, from now on, because of this gospel, because Jesus has died for us, because Jesus has risen for us, because Jesus has transformed us and forgiven all of our sin, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. You know what that means? Paul, before he became Paul, when he was Saul, he hated Jesus. He hated Jesus. We don't know for sure, but indications are pretty good that Saul was in the room when the Sanhedrin sentenced Jesus to death. When they said, we can't have this one out claiming to be the Messiah anymore, he must die. Chances are good that Saul was there as a young man giving his approval, even though they didn't ask for his opinion. We know for a fact that Saul was there when Stephen was stoned to death. And we know that Saul stood idly by with the cloaks of the men who were hurling the stones at God's anointed. Standing there just watching the coats and giving his approval. Saul hated Jesus. He looked at Jesus and he saw somebody who was crazy. He looked at Jesus and he saw somebody who was out of his mind, and he looked at Jesus as somebody who was taking everything that he had ever known to be true and totally chucking it. He looked at Jesus as one who was coming in to destroy the traditions given by his forefathers. And he looked at Jesus as one who was so nuts that he had to die for the good of the system. That's how Saul looked at Jesus. He regarded him according to the flesh. He looked no further than the outward appearance. He looked no further than what he saw on the outside. See, people called Jesus all kinds of names. They said he was a wine bibber because he ate with sinners. He was a friend to tax collectors and prostitutes. They kept him pushed away. Why? Because he was wrecking their system. They couldn't see beyond his flesh. And because they couldn't look beyond his flesh, because they couldn't look beyond what everybody was saying about him, you know what they cried out in the streets? Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. There was a rioter who was imprisoned alongside Jesus. Somebody who had rose up in a revolution. Somebody who had literally murdered people. And Pilate brought out the murderer named Barabbas, and they said, which one do you want? Jesus, who's done nothing, or the murderer? You know who they wanted? The murderer. Why? Because they regarded Jesus only according to his flesh. They didn't look any further. Guys, it's been a crazy couple of months. I told you when we were doing communion, I flipped open the Facebook feed last night. I got fired up. Some of y'all got fired up too. That's why you're smiling. Some of y'all are still fired up. Nobody laughed when I made my little joke earlier. Because you're fired up. You know why? Because you look across that aisle at whatever party is not yours and you see them no more than the flesh. You see in them no more than what others say about them. You see in them no more than what can be regarded just by looking at outward appearances. And you know what God calls us to do? He calls us to look through that. He calls us to look through the flesh of our enemies and see a soul that needs Jesus. He calls us to look through the people who want everything we don't want, and to see that it is not a new candidate that they need. It is a new creation that they must become. That's what Jesus calls us to. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. All right? There are real issues at stake. We know that. We recognize that. We see that. These are not little piddly issues. You know, do you want vanilla icing or chocolate icing on your cake? Do you want, you know, strawberry or do you want raspberry? That's not it. I mean, these are big issues, and they are issues worth discussing. But what we must do as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we discuss them, is that we must do exactly what Paul says here. That we must regard no one according to the flesh. Because I'm going to tell you what, there are going to be people who come at you. Maybe they already have. There are going to be people who come at your tradition, who come at your system, who come at everything you've ever thought is good for this nation, for this world, for you, for me, for all of us. They're going to come at it. And you know what the temptation will be? To see no further than the flesh. And whatever that is. Well, they're this. Well, they're that. And because they're this, or they're that, it's real easy to lump them into a category and not deal with them anymore. Do you know why they have racial slurs? You know why? Because if you can call somebody a racial slur, they become less than human. And you can lump them over here. And it goes every way. You regard them according to the what? Maybe they're in a different socioeconomic class than you. Whether they're the rich or the poor and you hate them for whatever reason. You come up with slurs and you come up with things about their flesh, and because it's easier to lump them into a category as something less than human when we do that. You know what Jesus says? Look deep into their eyes. Look into their souls. See somebody who is lost in sin, who is blinded by Satan. See somebody who has been deceived by the schemes of the evil one, and beg God for their salvation. Beg God that their sinful soul, which was no more sinful than yours and no less sinful than yours, would be saved by a Savior who shed His blood for them too. That we would regard no one according to the flesh. Guys, you and I have been called to follow Jesus. That ain't easy. It's a higher standard. It's a higher standard than what we otherwise might be called to. And that means we act different. And we treat people different. And that means sometimes we bite our tongues. And sometimes we bite our thumbs. Sometimes we don't post what we want to post. And sometimes we get our blood pressure really high. Because there's something greater than politics at stake. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. I'm just as guilty as you. I got some folks in my life where I've got people at this church on this staff who, when I get going about them, they have to say, "Will you shut up? Stop. Slow down. Remember the greater objective, that they might see Jesus and Him lifted up." From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And where did this all come from? Well, it tells us. It says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You have been called to ministry. If you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been called to ministry. And that ministry is that you would show people Jesus. And that you would say, Jesus will receive you today. Yes, you're nasty, you vile sinner, separated from God and headed to hell. Yes, that is true. But Jesus loves you so deeply that He gave His life for you. And then He died, and on the third day He arose from the grave, and He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And He will receive you as His own today. There's something greater at stake in all of this. And so we're going to come to an altar. I'm sorry. I know I'm the substitute preacher tonight. I get it. All right. I know. Couldn't we just talk about love or something? Yeah, I know. I texted people last night about, now I got to go preach Blessed Are the Peacemakers. I'd rather just be angry, you know, about whatever. But I got to go preach Blessed Are the Peacemakers. You know why? Because God wanted you and God wanted me to hear, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And if you're going to claim to be a son of God, compliments of the blood of Jesus Christ, then you're going to be a peacemaker. And if you're not going to be a peacemaker, then you ain't a son of God. Tonight, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, He will receive you tonight. You are a nasty sinner separated from God and destined for hell at this moment. You say, well, I don't feel like I deserve it. Doesn't matter what you feel like. The Bible says it's true. I was the same way. I felt like I was a pretty good person compared to everybody else. Problem was, judgment doesn't compare you to everybody else. Judgment compares you to Jesus, and held up against Jesus, we all fail. But tonight, know that Jesus Christ came and that He died on the cross to pay the price for your sin. That He was taken off that cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, He arose from the grave and He's alive today. That He ascended into heaven, that He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and that when the time comes, He will return in power and glory and gather together all who belong to Him and take us home to be with Him forevermore. There'll never be another election there. He's the King. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, He'll take you tonight. He'll take you, and He'll make you His own. He'll take you from being somebody who's lost and an enemy of God, and He will make you a child of God, adopted into the family of Christ. Tonight, if you've received Christ and you've never been baptized, it's time to say, I am no longer ashamed to publicly identify with the one who died for me. And we can help you with that. We can get you signed up and we can make it happen. Even if you want to do it right now, we'll go do it. We got water. We got shorts. We got t-shirts. We got robes. We can make it happen. Then the other part of this altar is this. I'm gonna take a dangerous hunch that you're like me. And that over the course of the past few days and weeks and months, you've probably done a few things that you need to do a little repenting for. And I'm going to invite you to join me up here. To get on your knees before an almighty God and say, Lord, I've regarded a lot of people according to the flesh. And You told me tonight to look through the flesh. Look through the harsh exterior and see the crying soul in need of salvation. Because somebody once looked at me that way. Somebody once looked through my heart exterior and saw the little kid soul that needed Jesus. And they weren't stopped by all my hardness. They kept on going. Because they knew something greater was at stake. So if you need to repent for something, I'm going to invite you to come. Talk to God. You ain't got to talk to me. Talk to God about it. Get it off your chest. Let Him know you messed it up and you don't want to do it again. Let Him know you want to follow Him. Be like Him. Love people like He loves people. See people as He sees people. Understand people as He understands people. And most of all, love people as He loves people.
And so we're going to have an altar tonight. If you need to get saved, please come. Don't leave here tonight disconnected from God. There's no sense in it. If you need to be baptized, come and let's get that worked out, whether right now or Sunday or next Wednesday or whatever it is. If you want Jamie to do it, he's a little closer to the water. He doesn't splash as much. He can do it, all right? But don't leave here ignoring the call of God on your life. All right? Let's stand together. Father, we confess that we need you. We need you in every way, and we need you in ways we don't even recognize that we need you in. We pray for our president because you tell us to. We pray for our president, whether he's Barack Obama or whether he was Mitt Romney, it doesn't matter. We pray for him because, Lord, you tell us to lift him up. Because ultimately he's a servant of the people, but he's your servant before he's a servant of the people. And we pray for our president that you would keep him healthy, that you would keep him strong, and that he would serve you in all ways. We pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders, for our elected officials, for those who've been appointed to care for and represent us. We pray for our enemies, those who sit across some aisle of ideology that see the world a little bit different than what we do. We even pray for those, Lord, who see you a little bit different than what we do. We know they've been deceived and we want them to come and get saved. And so, Lord, we come to this altar knowing that you're speaking to our hearts, and our one prayer is that whatever you want from us, that would be what we would do tonight. Father, hear our prayers, hear our cries. Move among us. Make us more like Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.